Good evening and welcome to Seascapes. On tonight's programme, an EU rescue package for the fishing industry and how the Irish Sailing Awards are still going ahead, but remotely. It seems there's no escape from the coronavirus even at sea. The fishing industry has been plunged into an economic crisis with the collapse and closure of fish markets all over the world. Talks were underway on an EU rescue package for the industry this afternoon, and it seems that help is indeed on the way. We'll have news on that shortly, but first, earlier this week, Noel Sweeney was out meeting fishermen from the Kerry coast to talk about the Irish fisheries and the coronavirus. His report begins with National Inshore Fisherman spokesman Alex Crowley and his crewman Roland O'Shea at Carrasaveen Pier before meeting Edward Moore and on to Dingle.
I'm meeting with fishermen from the south and west coasts of County Kerry to chat about the challenges they experience in the fishing business. First stop was Carrasaveen Pier, where I chatted with the National Inshore Fisherman spokesman Alex Crowley and his crewman Roland O'Shea. Our conversation quickly turned to the damaging effects that the coronavirus will have on the industry. We met on Alex Crowley's 10-metre vessel as they hauled shrimp on board.
That's the big one now that's emerging over the last couple of weeks is the effect of the coronavirus on seafood markets. I suppose it's early days yet, but the indications don't look very good. We're not really feeling the direct effects yet. As I said, the shrimp season is coming to a close now. The other species that we're landing today are green crabs, which we're starting to see the effects now on that.
And how might the coronavirus affect your business?
It's affecting seafood markets globally. It hasn't started to affect us directly yet. We're seeing the first indirect effects this weekend that the other species we'll be landing today will be green crab. There's two markets for that really. There's the larger grade goes to Spain for human consumption. It hasn't affected that yet, but the smaller grade, it mostly goes to France for use as whelk bait. But the problem that we're seeing now is that the whelk fishery is starting to slow down, and demand for bait is slowing down, mainly because most of the whelk are actually exported to South Korea, and a lot of the processors now that their markets has basically stopped. They're starting to stockpile the whelks, but there's only a limited time that they'll be able to do that, so the fishery is starting to wind down now. A similar situation with the fishery for razor clams. My colleagues involved in that fishery now, they've seen the prices that they're being offered for their fish drop by 80% since the end of January. Again, the big market for the razors was in China and Southeast Asia, and that's more or less completely stopped now because flights have been cancelled and people aren't buying fish over there either, of course. And the only alternative market then is the European market, and the result really, I suppose the net result, which is the one that's important to the fishermen, is they've seen an 80% drop in what they're being offered for their fish. The main market was in China, and the orders have dried up there, and even if they had orders, they can't get the stuff out there now because flights have been cancelled and that kind of stuff. And we're expecting similar now with the crab fishery when that starts off as well. And we have concerns also then about the lobster fishery, which, as I said, we're hoping to be starting that now in the next couple of weeks. But now that we have outbreaks in Spain and France, we're hearing reports that some of the street markets in France are starting to close. European tourism will definitely be down, domestic tourism will definitely be down. And we're certainly expecting a price drop in terms of what we're going to get for our lobster. The $64 million question though is how low is it going to go? Is it going to go below a point where it doesn't really pay to fish them?
I see here you have one man working with you here. Are you worried about paying your staff? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, we there's only one guy with me today now. I usually would have a crew of two, but these guys are what we call share fishermen. So their wages are directly related to the net profits of the boat. And if those profits drop, their wages are going to drop as well. That's just the way the fishing works.
You're working here, we're giving Alex a hand today. Is this your full-time job?
Full-time job, yeah, 8 years now.
Do you like it?
Oh yeah, it's fine, it pays the bills.
Any interest in buying a boat eventually, taking it over?
I have a small boat at the moment now. We're in the process of kind of doing it up now, so that maybe it might be in use in the next year or two now, hopefully.
And was fishing something you were always interested in, or was something just because, you know, you're from Carrasaveen, it's a fishing town, was it something that you really wanted to do?
At the time, I suppose, Alex had lost his crewman at the time, and I was around and it was a job and I needed money, so I kind of fell into it that way, and it was fine, like, so that's how it's been now since.
And would you share a lot of the views that Alex would have about the sector and the challenges that are presented to fishermen on a daily basis?
I would. In fairness, it affects everyone, like, and it's for the people working in the industry, it's easy to see, but I suppose for everyone outside, they'd be oblivious to it, you know. It's not, I suppose, that visible, you know, because you really have to be involved in the industry to see the issues, like.
Eddie Moore is also a 10-metre vessel owner operating out of Dingle Harbour. As of last weekend, he told me that he had done just 3 days fishing since December 17th, 2019.
My name is Eddie Moore there. I'm a fisherman there from West Kerry working out at Dingle. The boat is the Misty Dawn. She's another 10-metre boat.
You're based primarily along the southwest?
Primarily based out of Dingle. We spend a bit of time through the year there when the weather's fine, or working out of Belly David. It's just more economical for us.
Dingle, of course, is a town, you know, associated with its seafood.
It would have to be, I mean, with the amount of restaurants in Dingle and shellfish being so much abundant down through the years. I mean, it's straight from sea to plate here. Like
that said, I'm looking around here now and there's an awful lot of fishing vessels tied up.
The boats here, I'd say, have a total of, I'd say, 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe for the bigger boats, done, I'd say, since around the 17th of December to date.
What's caused that?
Weather, storms. I think it's probably one of the worst, definitely one of the worst Februarys in record, but it's no longer gales, it's storm after storm. I know, are we after going 3 or 4 storms, or the Shetland run out of names, the way things are going? We're not working static gear at the moment, so we're actually taking the fishing gear with us, going out and coming back in that evening. Since the 17th of December, we've actually only fished 3 days.
Can you absorb those losses?
No, business can sustain those kind of losses. It was always kind of a fishery where you'd have to make enough in 7 or 8 months to sustain a few months of bad weather, but I'm talking about a week off here and a week off there. I'm not talking about 3 months, 3 days, 3 days work. That's unsustainable.
So how do you sustain your lifestyle?
The lifestyle is a choicey word. We just have to persevere. We're trying to do something at the moment there. The biggest problem we're facing there is with crews, with boats, with repayments, with banks. I mean, it all mounts up. It just makes the coming months that you are starting to get to fish to make money, it just makes those a hell of a lot more difficult. I'm kind of a bit long in the tooth now to go looking for another career option, but the guys that are the hardest hit here are the crews. It's very hard to keep a guy or keep a few guys working with you if they're only getting a few days a week.
You know, Dingle is always associated with fishermen and sea life, but is the tradition being kept alive?
Surprisingly, the answer is yes, because my own young lad is 22. He's mad into fishing. He wants to do nothing else. There are 3 or 4 other boats here in the area, very close to where we're standing, and they're mostly all young guys in them, but without some form of assistance or without some form of... basically, fishermen aren't looking for a handout. They're looking for some form of assistance, even a scheme, something created, because, I mean, the existing schemes that are there at the moment, they're not fit for purpose, basically. There's a fish assist scheme, I believe. It's similar to some form of a dole, but... I mean, how can a guy draw a fish assist if he has to be available for work? The problems that I see with the fishery is, personally, that fishermen are losing on a daily basis, on a yearly basis, they're losing fisheries. They've lost the salmon fishery, they've lost the dogfish, they've lost the bass fishery, they've lost, you could keep naming. And the problem there is, when guys don't have another fishery to diversify into, they all diversify into one fishery. So at the moment, we have a pot fishery, which every inshore boat, I'd say, is nearly funneling into that fishery at the moment, and that fishery can't last. If that fishery goes belly up, I wouldn't hold a whole lot of. And I'd say with things are at the moment, with markets, with the uphill struggle fishermen are facing, the weather, this coronavirus, I'd say this year will be a testament to any guy to survive.
Noel Sweeney speaking to fishermen in County Kerry earlier this week. And since then, Alex Crowley, who you heard there, has been on to me. He says, "Since then, my worst fears have been realised. My boat has now stopped fishing indefinitely, like most of my colleagues, because we have no viable market for our produce whatsoever. We should be starting the lobster season now and enjoying high prices in the run-up to Easter, which would make up for a lean winter, but that's not going to happen. I've been speaking to Patrick Murphy, Chief Executive of the South West Fishermen's Producers Organisation in Castletownbere in County Cork. He told me how the crisis has been affecting the industry and how they're hoping for a rescue plan.
Well, basically, people have been bringing in fish, and unfortunately there's been no market for them to take. So this weekend will tell a lot. We have to wait and see what the demand is. People have sent out fish from different parts of the country and even from other countries, and it's been sent back. So we don't know, but at the same time, we know that people will want fish. I think the logistics and everything else is up in a heap at the moment. We just need to plan and get it right so that we can continue to fish, but not all the fleet, unfortunately. We have a domestic market that will only take a certain amount of fish for them.
Some of your advice so far this week was for fishermen to not go out at the moment.
Well, you see, they are out at the moment because once there was a break in the weather, they went. And until they know further, they're going to fish because, look, fishing doesn't take place over a day or two because there's an expense involved before you ever leave the pier. You have to pay for your diesel. So you have to go beyond that critical mass before you start making money, unfortunately. So that's the nature of the beast that the industry is under, you know. They're under pressure the minute they leave the pier. And so they have to stay out to make sure that they have enough fish regardless of the price at the moment. Otherwise, they'll be in negative equity before they even come back in, you know.
And this is the first break in the weather in a couple of weeks. Are there a lot of people out?
Oh, months, Virgil. No. The bad weather for fishermen has gone on months. You see, as I said, unless you get an opportunity to go out for 3 or 4 days, going out for 1 or 2 days, you'll only just have covered your expenses if you have to come back in again. So you don't go out. Plus, people's lives are at stake when you go to sea in bad weather. Like, you know, the skipper and the master has to make a decision, and the safety of his crew is paramount. You can't be caught out in unknown weather, especially the time of the year. You see, the swell is bigger in the winter time. The waves are bigger, like, so, you know, it's dangerous, more dangerous. So you can't go out unless you're sure you're going out there for something that'll pay you to go out there for, you know.
Okay, so then when they come back in, at the moment, there's nowhere to sell it. What's been happening?
Well, we've been talking to our boats. You see, it couldn't be as bad as I'm trying to make out now. If we had a system in place where fish could be frozen or held over, knowing that people will want food. So yes, there's a stock of food there at the moment, but I'm fearful that we run down that stock of food and we'll be found wanting later on. So we should plan ahead, and we need to talk to the different people who are the players along the chain to make sure that if something is put in place, you know, to make sure that primarily the people of our country has food.
The international markets, are they operating?
No, you see, everything has stopped, so nobody knows. So, Fergal, if we send a lad out in a truck now, he's 2 weeks in quarantine when he gets to the other side. He can't drive any further, you know, so that logistics is there. If there isn't enough lorries and cars on the vessels, they could stop running, but you won't know that until you pull up to the dock. You know, because it's uncertain. We don't know. Things are changing so rapidly in every hour to hour. We need to put plans in place and to make sure that no matter what happens, everything keeps moving. And that plan is missing at the moment, you know.
France and the UK, France in particular, would be a big market for Irish fish, and the outdoor markets there are closing down.
Yes, like the French fleets are being told to stop fishing, you know. They're bringing their boats in. They're not going out catching fish if there's nowhere to go with the fish. They're being responsible. Like, this is very good. If you, our fleet, for anybody to tie up, which they are, you know, that's the responsible thing to do. There's no point in killing fish for no good reason, you know. Even this weekend now, we're giving away fish in two of our local supermarkets, you know, in Castletownbere and Bantry, to our community to show our solidarity with them, like, so they can get fish this Saturday. But we're just hoping that people will allow the elderly people to go in first in the morning to get there so that they won't be meeting a lot of people, you know, and then increase the danger of spreading the virus.
On the other side, if you do catch these fish and you can't sell them, it still comes out of your quota.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. But look, hopefully that we will find measures in the short term to prevent any wastage or any losses like that. We have a certain amount of cold rooms and freezer facilities that we will be able to hold on to the fish for a period of time. But look, we're very regulated as an industry, so we can't have boats going back out with fish on board that they're storing, because it's very hard then to calculate what's on board the boat. So, you know, It's very complicated. We need to plan.
You're meeting a whole series of people over the weekend. What are you looking for?
Well, we're going to be asking the minister today now to set up a specific task force, just like he did for the beef farmers. You know, this is a really complicated, and there's a lot of players along the chain in this, and each person should have a say in this. But from our department, from our even transport, from the logistics of people coming into the country and out with lorry drivers, you know, we have foreign drivers coming into the country now, and we have boats landing to our piers. And we need to talk about that, because these lads are coming off the boat, and naturally enough, they're going to the shop and stuff like that, but there's no testing going on at the moment, you know. There's a weak link in the chain.
What's the situation with fishermen who are at sea at the moment now? Are you telling them to come back or to keep going?
Well, no, they're going to come in this weekend, and they're going to hopefully, lads, look, they're under fierce pressure, Fergal. You cannot comprehend the pressure they're under. They haven't earned anything really in 3 months, and they're self-employed people, like, so they had no supports up until now. And they don't know what the future holds. And they have bills to pay as well too, you know. So we're looking for all that. We just want our industry to be treated the same as everybody else. And we need to talk to the relevant people to get those supports in place immediately.
Patrick Murphy. And Lorna Siggins got news this evening of a rescue package from the EU.
There is. The European Commission announced this morning that it is revising EU state aid rules, which allow member states to provide temporary relief to economic operators hit by a crisis, and it's acknowledging that the fisheries and aquaculture sectors are extremely hard hit by a collapse in the demand for seafood. So it's allowing member states to increase the maximum amount of de minimis aid per undertaking from a current level of 30,000 to 120,000 euro. And the European Commissioner for Environment, Oceans and Fisheries, Virginijus Sinkevičius, said that our fishermen and women and aquaculture farmers are among the first to suffer the economic consequences of COVID-19 due to this dramatic slump in the demand for seafood. And he's also acknowledging that there's problems with transport, landing facilities, cold storage to allow enough fish to be frozen. So the idea is that this increase in aid will last until the end of December.
The amounts you mentioned, is that per skipper, per ship, per company?
That seems to be per undertaking by a company.
Why has the fishing industry collapsed so badly in this crisis?
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. And I spoke to Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation Chief Executive Sean O'Donoghue, who explained that people are buying canned seafood to store. They might have a certain amount of freezing capacity for frozen fish, but they also know that the frozen fish is only going to last a certain amount of time. So they're tending to go for canned seafood. So he also points out, of course, that the domestic Irish market is not enough to keep the Irish fleet working. And, you know, due to fuel costs and crew costs and other things, it's not worth a vessel's while to be going to sea if there isn't a market for the seafood. European markets are closing down. There's been very restricted access to the Asian market. Now, there's some hope that China will start opening up again as it gets a handle on COVID-19. But the crab sector was very hard hit by what happened in China. So that's the trend. And as a result, the seafood sector has been really hard hit by this.
What's happening in our ports?
In the ports, there were the Department of Transport issued revised marine notices in February in relation to COVID-19, and it is revised that notice again this week in relation to measures to restrict the transfer of possible infection. So masters are required to complete and submit a maritime declaration of health for all ships arriving in Ireland, and this has to be submitted 24 hours before arrival. And also an updated crew list and passenger list for passenger ships via the Safe Seas Ireland. This applies to all vessels. And Captain Brian Sheridan in Galway Port was explaining the practicalities of this to me this week. He was waiting for the arrival of the Ellie William Butler Yeats, which is one of three Navy ships that has been offered for use to the Health Service Executive as a testing facility for COVID-19. And the Defence Forces Press Office said that the ships have been deployed to generate extra capacity and that it was awaiting further instructions on this. But also the...
Because, of course, they're not needed in sea fishery protection at the moment because all French trawlers have been told to go home.
Yeah, I think the Spanish vessels are still... There's still some Spanish vessels out there and other vessels. But, yes, I suppose the activity at sea is going to decrease. The Naval Service did say they would still have one vessel available for fisheries protection. But the three ships include the Samuel Beckett that's been deployed to Dublin, WB Yeats to Galway, and then another ship in Hull Boland, which can then be deployed into Cork. And then independently of that activity, the harbour master, the port pilots, all the key critical staff to keep the ports moving are all taking extra measures in terms of social distancing. There's been deep cleaning right across the port, Captain Sheridan was saying. He said that all of the measures that have been introduced apply to the port pilots, crew who have to board ships, dock gatemen, crane drivers, and meanwhile, any staff in the port who can work from home have been doing so.
And in Cork, they've decided that cruise ships shouldn't enter at this point in time. The cruise industry must be in complete shutdown.
Yeah, I think this is having a very, very serious impact on cruise ships. And he was telling me about what's happening in other member states and where there's some situations where cruise ships have not even been allowed in to refuel. So that's a very serious situation for the cruise industry.
Lorna Siggins. One event which has not been cancelled this weekend are the Irish Sailing Association annual awards. But instead of taking place at a glittering ceremony in Dublin, they'll be online. And anybody can watch them, as Teresa Cox of the Irish Sailing Association told me.
The Irish Sailing Awards were due to be held actually in Dunleary this year, and we had a new sponsor lined up, Dunleary County Council. But obviously we couldn't bring the crowd together, but we wanted to make sure that all the amazing achievements in the sailing community didn't go unrecognised this year and that we somehow celebrated within the sailing community.
How are you doing it?
So what we're doing are we've decided instead we are going to put them all online. So we created a series of very short little video clips talking about each nominee and then announcing the winner. And we will do that on our social channels tomorrow evening. So that's Saturday, the 21st of March. Starting at 6:30, we will start sending out these little films so that people can see each category as they're announced. And there are seven categories or seven awards. And they are Senior Instructor, the Inclusion Award, Sustainability Award, the Youth Sailor of the Year, the Very Popular Training Centre of the Year, the President's Award, and then, of course, the Sailor of the Year, which we run in association with Afloat.
People will be able to watch this on Facebook and where else?
They can watch it mainly on our Facebook channel, and the link is on our website page. And if you look up Irish Sailing Association on Facebook, you'll be able to see all the films there. But we'll also post the announcements on our Instagram and our Twitter channels, and we'll have the videos up on our website too.
Has this taken a lot of preparation to be able to do something like this? I presume you have all of the people standing by.
Some will have been notified, in other words, we'll have to watch on the night. And it has taken a bit of preparation. Yeah, it takes a few minds to get together and work out exactly how you do this. But hopefully it means that everybody will come together virtually instead of being in a room together and recognise just how wide our sailing community is and the amount of work that goes in 1 year. So there are about well over 30 nominees in the Sailor of the Year category, and they range from everybody, lots of different types of people, from people who are recognised for their leadership in sailing, to people who have done amazing offshore feats, to people who are windsurfing and breaking speed records, to younger sailors and volunteers.
And I know from personal experience that the Sailing Centre of the Year Award and the Club of the Year Awards, they're very big deals for people.
Yeah, so we announced the Training Centre of the Year Award, and it's always popular and it's always fantastic on the night to see the amount of people who go into running a club or a training centre. You know, it's not just one person. It's a big team, and it's always a great time to be able to celebrate the huge amount of effort and work that goes into running these clubs and centres throughout the year.
And on a different issue, you still have Irish teams and individuals training around the world for the Olympic Games.
Yeah, that's right. As of today, the Olympic Games are still going ahead. So the teams are still very much viewing this as a day-by-day basis. So it's business as usual. Obviously, they have to adhere to all the rules of social distancing and making sure that the most vulnerable in our society are kept safe. But they are taking it day by day and training as if everything was going ahead.
And you can watch the Irish Sailing Awards on sailing.ie from tomorrow evening.